Welcome to Parshas HaShavua with Rabbi Gerari. This week's Parsha is Parshas Bahar. But this week, I'm only going to spend a few minutes on the Parsha because I want to spend a bit more time on Lag BaOmer. This coming Sunday is Lag BaOmer. Again, always falls out during the days of the Omer, of course, and it's always around this week's Parsha. So let's begin with a thought on the Parsha, and then let's go to understand a little bit the power of the great day of Lag BaOmer and the power in connecting with the simcha, with the joy of Lag BaOmer. So I want to just point out, of course, there's many mitzvahs in this week's parsha, beginning with the mitzvah of Shmita, but what I want to do is I want to just highlight that there's two mitzvahs in this week's parsha where the Kli Yakar makes the point that the purpose of the mitzvah is to strengthen emunah and bitachin. Let's understand how this works. So the first mitzvah in the parasha, of course, is the mitzvah of Shmita, where the Torah commands us when we come into the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's specific to Eretz Yisrael, that we should work the land for 6 years, and then in the seventh year, the land should lay fallow and it should not be worked, and all the halachas that come together with the mitzvah of Shmita. So the Kli Yakar explains, because there are many reasons, there are many discussions about what the reason is. Is it an agricultural benefit thing, as the Rambam might seem to suggest in Mor Nevuchim? Is it other things? And the Kli Yakar says the following. He says that the reason for this is to instill in the Jewish people the middah of emunah and bitochen. Now, of course, we know that the mitzvah of Shmita is compared to Shabbos. Shabbos is also bitochen. Shabbos is the concept that we don't work on Shabbos because showing our belief that actually our parnasa, our sustenance, our blessing comes from Hashem. And in fact, it's Shabbos that gives bracha to the weekday parnasa, the living that we make during the week. Actually, the bracha comes from Shabbos. And this we learn from the mon, that although the mon didn't fall on Shabbos, the manna in the desert, nevertheless, we know that Hashem blessed the mon from Shabbos. The bracha of the mon comes from Shabbos. But Shabbos is a display of emunah b'tochen, but at the end of the day, it's not such a strong display because people can sort of withhold one day of working, make it up the day before, the day after, and so on and so forth. But the mitzvah of Shmita, the Kli Yakar continues, is really about b'tochen. It's about stopping to work the fields for 1 year and really believing that you will exist, Hashem will provide, and the fact that we didn't attend it to the ground to the fields for 1 year won't affect us at all. Why is the mitzvah Shmita so important at this juncture? Because Hashem was worried, so to speak, that when the Yidden come into the land of Eretz Yisrael, not to forget, of course, that during the 40 years in the desert, the Jewish people received their sustenance from the manna that fell every single day from heaven. So although that really made them realize that everything comes from Shamayim, but at the end of the day, they went to sleep every night, and the next morning, the food came down. However, Hashem said, you're going into the land of Israel. You need to start an agricultural society where you're going to work the land, you're going to plow, you're going to sow, and you're going to reap and harvest. So therefore, when they will be engaged in this type of work, and if they will find success, they might forget Hashem. And they will think that Koichi v'oitzim yodi, my power, my strength accomplished all of these amazing things. And they will begin to think that Oilam kemin hogoy noyeg, the world just continues on its normal routine. In other words, nature takes its course. So therefore Hashem took him out. Hashem elevated the Jews out of their natural state and said, every 7 years, of course, your bracha comes through natural means, through plowing, through sowing, but every 7 years, you need to withdraw from the land, which really affects the produce for 2 years, because that year they can't harvest and they also can't sow. So therefore Hashem says, nevertheless, you'll put yourselves in my hands, realizing that it all comes from Hashem anyway, and trust that Hashem will not weaken your livelihood through keeping the mitzvah of Shmita. So therefore, at the bottom, at its essence, Shmita is a mitzvah that instills bitochen. The second mitzvah in this week's parasha that the Kli Yakar explains in a similar way is the prohibition of ribis. So the Torah tells us that there's a mitzvah in the Torah that if you lend money to someone, if someone needs money, you lend money to someone, someone is needy, vechazakto bo, you should strengthen him, and so on and so forth. The Torah says, "Al tikach mitoy nesha vasabis," do not take interest. So this is the famous mitzvah in the Torah, that when someone lends money, it is forbidden to charge interest. This actually is a prohibition on the lender and on the borrower. Both. Both if they facilitate, even the borrower facilitates the ribis, he receives ribis, that's also prohibited. Now, of course, without going into detail, there are lots of halachic ways around this. There's this concept called heter iska, where the loan is structured more as a partnership and as an investment. And in such a way, there are ways to sort of receive ribis. But the concept is that when a Jew lends money, there's no ribis. And why is this? Is this only for the benefit of the lender? In other words, it could be, as the Kliyoka points out from this week's parasha and other places, it seems to say that we're talking about lending money for someone who's really in need. So it almost seems like the whole point of this is help the person who's needy. Don't charge them interest so that they should be able to get back on their feet, or they won't be able to afford it, or whatever the case is. So the Kliyoka points out that's not really the case, because later on in the Torah, it's very clear that ribis applies whether you're lending to someone who will have the money, which is for a temporary business investment or something. He might be a rich person even, and has plenty of means to pay back. That's not the point. We are not permitted to lend the ribis. So therefore, the Kliyoka says, the concept is, it's about ribis. It's about bitochen. Why is it bitochen? Because when you lend with ribis, you are removing your bitochen for Hashem. What are you saying? You say like this: this money, if I have this money, I can invest it and make it work for me. If I give it to the borrower and I don't charge ribis, I'm going to have less. Therefore, I want my money to work for me, even whether it's by the other person. So the way I do that is I lend money and I charge ribis, I charge interest. In other words, you're saying that you're not fully in the hands of Hashem, that if you lend money without ribis, you are going to now be weakened in terms of your income. So the whole point of ribis, therefore, is to always have bitochen and to strengthen that bitochen by saying, no, I lend the person money for a mitzvah. It's true that during the time the person has that loan, my money is not working for me and nothing will happen. I won't have less as a result of that. And therefore, it's an avera to lend to ribis, even if you're talking about a rich person. And also, it's an avera for the borrower to take ribis, because the borrower then is facilitating the weakening of my bitochen. So we have this strong theme here in the parsha about the midas habitochen, about understanding that everything comes from Hashem. Hashem is in charge of everything. It only goes through the natural meanings, but really it's all the brachas of Hashem, and we are completely in Hashem's hands. And the more we give ourselves over in Hashem's hands, the more bracha we actually see. Let's move on now to Lag BaOmer. So Lag BaOmer is the 33rd day of the Omer. We know Lag BaOmer, of course, is has many, many different angles to it, but it's traditionally a day of great joy. There's a simple concept where we mourn during the Omer for the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, who died, and the Shulchan Aruch tells us that on Lag BaOmer they stopped dying, and therefore today's sort of that we ease the mourning, we move more into Simcha. But according to the Arizal, of course, the main reason for being extra happy on Lag BaOmer, not just weakening the mourning, but actually being Mesameh, creating big Simchas, bonfires, dancing, parades, and so on and so forth, is because it is the Yartzeit, is the Yom Hilula of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the author of the Zohar. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, towards the end of his life, said that on the day of his passing, he had reached an unbelievable connection with Hashem. He requested that the day of his passing should be a day of Simcha, a day of his Simcha, because we are taught that a tzaddik, and particularly Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was on such an amazing level, as we read in the different piyutim that we say on Lag BaOmer, such an incredible level, especially at the time of his passing, at that moment, whatever he did during his life, all these Torah mitzvahs culminated into one very powerful force and was elevated to a very high madrega and then released a tremendous bracha and a tremendous unbelievable flow of blessing for the entire world. And that's something that happens every single Lag BaOmer, particularly if we join in and we participate in the simcha of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So I want to just share with you two ideas that comes from this idea of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Lag BaOmer. The first comes from a author that I quote sometimes called the Shvilei Pinchas. And he says, we know that one of the greatnesses of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, there are so many sources describing the unbelievable greatness of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. One of them is that Rav Yirmiyah in the Gemara says, Rav Chizkiya says Rav Yirmiyah, in the name of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Yochal ani lifter es kol ha'olam kulei min hadin. I'm able to absolve the world from judgment, from justice, from judgment, from Hashem's judgment. And that's, you know, part of what we go to Meiron, we don't go to Meiron, we light bonfires, we participate in the Simcha of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, and from that we are sort of connected to his energy and we are absolved from judgment and we draw down tremendous brachas. Rav Tzvi Elimelech Medinov, the author of the Bnei Yisoschar and the author of Igra, the Pirka, and other Svarim, says the following. He says that from the 33rd day of the Omer, from Lag BaOmer to Rosh Hashanah, there are 129 days. And this has the same gematria as the phrase Hashem Hu HaElokim. Hashem, of course, is spelled Yud and a Hey and a Vav and a Hey, Yud Kei Vav Kei, Hu HaElokim, Hashem is Elokim. These are two names of Hashem. Has the gematria, the miracle value of 129 days. Now, of course, this comes in context of the pasuk that which we say every day when we say Oleinu. We quote the pasuk from Chumash that says, "V'yodaito hayom, you shall know today." V'ashavoyse elavavech, and you should take heart. You should pay attention. Ki Hashem hu elokim. Hashem is elokim. We'll explain what that means in a minute. V'ashamayim mimal, in the heavens above. In the land below. Einoi, there's nothing else besides Hashem. Now, what does this actually mean? So we say that Elohim, the name of Hashem, Elohim, when it's spelled properly, not Elohim with a kuf, but Elohim with a hey, is the same gematria as Hateva, the nature. Which means the name of Elohim, as we know, is the name where Hashem hides himself under the mask of nature, where in nature it's difficult to see the hand of Hashem, things just run their routine course. We know that obviously it's coming from Hashem, but, and it's Hashgacha Pratis and so on and so forth, but really it looks like just nature, and that's why the word Teva actually means sunken, when something is sunken in. So the hand of Hashem, the revelation of Hashem, is so to speak sunken within nature and difficult to see, and it's not obvious. That's the name of Elohim, it's the name of Tzimtzum, it's the name where Hashem conceals himself. And Yudke Vavke, of course, is the revelation of Hashem, the infinity of Hashem, the miraculous nature of Hashem's working. The fact that Hashem runs every single detail of the word, that Hashem has Hashgacha Pratis on every single thing. And the Torah says you should pay attention. So when, for example, Hashem is revealed, and you can see the hand of Hashem, that's Yudke Vavke, when he's not concealed. Says the Torah, you should pay attention. That when you see the workings of Elohim, you should understand that that's really Yudke Vavke. Yudke Vavke, the name of Hashem, the name of infinite name of Hashem, the name of revelation, Hashgacha Pratis, Hashem running every single detail of every single existence is coming through the Elohim. You just don't see it. But that's what it really is. That when the trees grow and the parnasa takes place and everything that we do is all the hand of Hashem. We just have to come to really understand that. And he says that this is the mechanism that from Lag BaOmer to Rosh Hashanah, we need to work on this realization. We need to work on this conscious thought that Hashem Hu Elokim. And how is that possible? Why does it start from Lag BaOmer? So we know, what is Lag BaOmer? What did Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai symbolize? He symbolized and he stood for the revelation of the uncovering of that which is hidden in Torah. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai was a very, very great Talmudist. He was a great scholar in the revealed part of Torah. But we know there are two parts of Torah, the revealed part of Torah and the hidden part of Torah. There were other Kabbalists in the time of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, but they didn't have the combination and they didn't reveal the secrets of Torah. It remained extremely secret and concealed. Where in the time of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, he started to reveal the process, the journey, which developed much more during the Arizal and then later in the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov and so on. But he started this process, this concept of revealing Pnimiyas HaTorah, the inner workings of Torah. This is hinted in a pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk where in Perek Kuf Yutes, where the Dovid HaMelech says, Gal Einai, open my eyes, Gal Einai, open my eyes, Ve'abito, and I will look at Niflo'is mi Torah Secha, the wonders of your Torah. And he says, as we know, Gal is Lamed Gimel. It's a remez. It's a hint for Lag BaOmer, because Lag BaOmer is Rashbi, and Rashbi starts to give us the tool of looking at things deeper, looking at things on a deeper level, using the secrets of Torah, the Pnimius HaTorah, to look at things which are not obvious. And when you have the tool of Pnimius HaTorah, then you're able to come to more so the realization of Hashem Hu Elokim. You look at the world, you can see the inner workings of the world. You look at Torah, you see the inner workings of Torah. You see the Yudke Vovke, which is behind the Elokim. And you're able to understand the concept of Hashgacha Pratis in a deeper way. You're able to understand the concept of the oneness of Hashem in a deeper way. And therefore, we're able to understand that Hashem Hu Elokim. Now, what does this all have to do with Rosh Hashanah? So the Shvilei Pinchas says, now we bring it all together in a most beautiful way. This goes back to the concept that the Gemara said Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was able to absolve the world from din, from judgment. And he says that's why if you use the tool of Lag BaOmer, which is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and you go till Rosh Hashanah, from Lag BaOmer to Rosh Hashanah, which is the gematria of Hashem Hu Elokim, and you get to Rosh Hashanah, the day of judgment, with an absolute realization of who runs the world, a connection to Hashem which is deeper than before, realizing that everything is Hashem Hu Elokim, that gives us the power then, that Hashem gives us only brachas on that day, and absolves the world from judgment, and instead of judgment, we get tremendous bracha. And the Shvilei Pinchas says an amazing thing, if we go back to that pasuk that we say in Aleinu, V'yodaito hayoyim, you should know today, and take and pay attention, ki Hashem Hu Elokim. The word Hayoim in Tanakh, we have a tradition, whenever it says the word Hayoim, it is actually a reference to Rosh Hashanah. So therefore it says, V'yodaito Hayoim, you shall know on this day, after 129 days from Lag BaOmer, and you've used the tools of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the idea of Pnimius HaTorah, to come to the realization and to really internalize this idea of Hashem Hu Elokim, then you will be absolved from din, because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai absolves the Jewish people from the concept of din, and we get only the brachas. I want to share with you one more idea, which is the lesson from Lag BaOmer that the Lubavitcher Rebbe points out. We find by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai almost a contradictory idea, and it manifests itself in many ways. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's neshama, as we know, Pi Kabbalah, was the most transcendent and lofty neshama, completely detached in a way from this worldly existence. Something that actually was difficult for the world, even great people of the world, to appreciate. One of the ways this is brought out is the Gemara Yerushalmi, that says that after the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva died, he took 5 Talmidim and he gave them smicha, and they were going to be the source from Torah going forward. And he gave them smicha, and in that group was Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he told Rabbi Meir that he must sit at the head. He must be the first to sit down. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, knowing his own greatness, was perplexed, and Rabbi Akiva turned to him and said to him, Dayoch shani ubor acho makirin kechacho, it is enough that me and your Creator understand and appreciate your greatness. Meaning that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's greatness was something that was hard to comprehend, even by his colleagues. It was something that was completely detached from any consciousness in this world and only appreciated by Rabbi Akiva, who was so great, and Hashem himself. That's why we find an interesting thing, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, there's a story of one of the Talmidim of the Arizal that went with the Arizal to Meiron to celebrate the Simcha of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now, this particular Talmud had a custom that every single day of the year, including Shabbos and Yontif, he would say the prayer of Nachem. Nachem is a prayer we say on Tisha B'Av, mourning and seeking comfort for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This Talmud was so broken and so affected by the Churban, by the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that he said Nachem every single day. When he came to Lag BaOmer in Meiron, he said Nachem as well. The Rashbi then appeared to the Arizal in a dream and said that it was wrong for this Talmud to interfere with his Simcha, and this Talmud was ultimately affected by that dream, by that revelation of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. He was punished. Why is it okay? Why doesn't Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai want Nachem recited? So in Kabbalah it explains that there are certain great tzaddikim, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai at the forefront, who transcend the whole concept of churban. Destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is something that takes place in this world. But in the world of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, in the world of complete spirituality, and where everything exists on a ruchnistic and godly level, the Beis Hamikdash was never destroyed. By him, Golus wasn't a reality because he was detached from the whole concept, the way it's experienced in this world. And yet, he wanted that to affect even someone who wasn't at that level. He wanted that to affect even the Talmud who came to dance at his kever around Lag BaOmer. He says, you need to connect to my greatness. Meaning, yes, it's something that you are not there, but you need to connect to it. And therefore, it was wrong for that Talmud to say Nachem on Lag BaOmer. Why is this? Because one of the great ideas behind Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is the combination between something which is very low and something which is very high, or something very high to something that is low. Sometimes we find that the greater something is, the lower it can affect, the more powerful it is. We find that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was in the cave, and we are taught that when they came out after 12 years, him and his son, they couldn't relate to the world. They went back for a 13th year. And after the 13th year, it says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai came out and he was on the most incredible level. Most incredible level. And his son, Rabbi Lazar, started to consume, destroy anything he saw that was material. People working the field couldn't understand how people could be connected to the Gashmias in such an unbelievable way. And the Gemara says that whatever Rabbi Lazar destroyed, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai fixed. Because he said to his son, no. The power of the, it's okay for the world just to have me and you in terms of that godly power. But now we must bring that into the world, and the world must exist, including people plowing and sowing and working the field. So whatever Rabbi Lazar destroyed, he fixed, because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was in this incredible level, but he was so high that he was able to relate to and bring down the Kedusha from his level to affect even the world in its materialistic state. Furthermore, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, when he came out after the 13th year of the cave, he said, what needs tikkun? What needs to be fixed? What is broken in the world and needs to be fixed? And one of the things was that there were certain graves that were not marked properly, and therefore the koyanim couldn't go there and couldn't live there because they didn't want to come into contact with impurity. So he busied himself and he got into the whole process of making sure that those graves should be fixed up and they should be properly done. Meaning, let's understand what this means spiritually. The grave is a place of tumah. Tumah, impurity, means the absence of kedusha, the absence of holiness, the absence of godliness. So here comes Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the greatest of the great, the neshama that is transcendent and unbelievably high, particularly after the 13th year, and is busying himself with places of tumah, with places of impurity. The greater we come, the greater we go, the higher we go, the lower we can come. And this is a lesson of Lag BaOmer. The lesson of Lag BaOmer is that we have on the one hand this idea of Pnimius HaTorah, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave us the gift of being able to explore and to swim in the world of mysticism, of the Pnimius HaTorah, the inner parts of Torah, the secrets of Torah, which today, after the whole journey of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, then the Arizal, Baal Shem Tov, and so on and so forth, these teachings have become very accessible. So he gave us the gift of looking at things deeper, looking at what's behind the mitzvah, what's behind Hashem's working, understanding godliness, really understanding the secrets of Torah. But the purpose, of course, is as we delve so deep to swim in that world of Pnimius HaTorah, the idea is to bring it down to our lives, to bring it down to other people, to bring it down to affect even the lower forms of existence, the lower forms, the lower areas of our life, that they should be affected and permeated with that connection with the high levels of Pnimius HaTorah. And that's one of the ideas of Lag BaOmer, that engaging and connecting to something very deep, but then bringing it down to elevate and to affect even something much lower. Have a wonderful day, good Shabbos, and a happy Lag BaOmer.